Today, I'm joined by the Times Union editor, Casey Seiler. He recently wrote a piece titled, "Madden Silence Endures." Can you tell us about your most recent column, specifically speaking about the significance of Mayor Madden's statements now in support of Black Lives, and that in contrast with his actions or inactions around the police killing of Edson Thevenin?
The mayor, as I kind of start off by saying, deserves a lot of credit for playing exactly the type of role that elected officials kind of needed to play and should have played during the recent protests in the wake of the killing of George Floyd, in as much as he issued a call of solidarity with the protesters. He said that in sort of a sweeping way that power structures included, you know, people in elective office have not done nearly enough to address the concerns of Black and brown people who feel targeted by systemic racism, especially police violence, and how that stands, unfortunately, in contrast to the fact that the mayor has continued to block the release of a memo prepared by Michael Ranale that the mayor directed taxpayer funds to have developed as essentially a response to a fairly damning Troy Police internal affairs report into the killing of Edson Thevenin in April 2016. That has been, I think it's fair to say, within the Capital Region, probably the biggest and most controversial case of, you know, alleged police misconduct. And that the continued reluctance or refusal of the mayor and other city officials to release that memo will continue to cast a very grim shadow over that episode at a time when calls for transparency from police and from elected officials are kind of ringing out across the land.
So sticking with the reports, in 2019, the Times Union editorial board posted an endorsement for Mayor Madden when he was running for re-election, but not without critique. In regard to these reports that you're referring to, the editorial board published, the mayor says he wants to let a civil lawsuit brought by Mr. Thevenin's wife play out first. We disagree. A matter of such community concerns deserves full transparency. Can you explain this further? What is this civil case that would prevent these reports from coming out? How is that justified?
Well, the mayor says it's justified. Other people would have other opinions, and I'm one of them. After the state investigation into how Troy city and county officials handled the investigation of Thevenin's death, which is a whole other hour of radio that we could do involving former district attorney Joel Abelov, who is once again appealing the fact that he's facing state charges for his, you know, resulting from his handling of the case. After that was completed, Troy Police, under the leadership of Joseph Santani, who at the time was the captain who was in charge of the Internal Affairs Unit, conducted, you know, a probe into Edson Thevenin's death that involved, you know, traffic recreation by the same expert who is working on the Schoharie, or has worked for the state police on the Schoharie limo crash. And in the fall of 2018, that report was filed. And it concluded that Sergeant Randall French, who was the officer who shot and killed Edson Thevenin, had made false statements about what happened that night and that he had violated police protocol when he allegedly decided to essentially force Mr. Thevenin's car into a concrete barricade. So it was damning. And so after Santani filed that report, the police came to the mayor and said, "Hey, we've got some concerns. We'd like to essentially have a report on the report. And we think we've got the guy who should do it." And that was Michael Ranale, former Glenville police chief, who was also an attorney. Now, I think the Santani report ran to almost 70 pages. Ranale's memo, based on what we are told about it, runs to less than 20. And according to, once again, the tidbits of information we've gotten about it, it calls into question the conclusions of the Santani report, the internal affairs report. And so that is essentially why Randall French sort of escaped discipline. Now, if you are a supporter of Randall French, who thinks that that officer made all the right moves that night, or at least some of the right moves, Rinaldi's memo, which apparently is a defense of his actions, ought to come out. You should be supporting the release of that report. But the bottom line is, the people of Troy deserve to see that report, and they deserve to see it now, and not someday, eventually, if Edson Thevenin's widow's suit finally does make it into a courtroom for a proper hearing, which is something, by the way, that the city's attorneys are working assiduously to prevent from happening.
Was there not even an attempt to keep the original Santani report hidden?
What was leaked to the plaintiff's attorney, for the attorneys for Edson Thevenin's widow, was the mere existence of Santani's report, that in fact the internal probe had been conducted. That was disclosed to the court, first reported, as have many of the Times Union stories about the Edson Thevenin case by Brendan Lyons, who is now our Capitol Bureau chief and our investigations chief. First reported actually a year ago this week, that the plaintiff's attorneys had told the court, hey, we just found out that this report exists. What ensued was about six, seven weeks in which the magistrate in the case, federal magistrate, got a copy of the report, looked at it, heard arguments from both sides as to whether or not it should enter the court record in the case. The city claimed that state law 50A, which many of your listeners might be familiar with, it is the state law that until just earlier this month barred the release of almost all police disciplinary records, that state law 50A prevented the release into the public record of the Santani report. The federal judge, magistrate, much to his credit, said, hey, that's a state law. It doesn't hold any sway in a federal lawsuit. And so in August of 2019, the public got a look at the Santani report.
With the Santani report and the Rinaldi memo and what's been hidden and what is in public knowledge now, in summary, what is the takeaway from this in terms of how the city has handled the case and the sharing of information around the police killing of Edson Thevenin?
From the mayor's perspective, the city is standing on its legal rights as part of its defense against a federal lawsuit by using the fact that Michael Rinaldi is a lawyer to essentially claim, well, that memo is attorney-client work product, and because of that status, we do not have to release it to the public. And the mayor has said, boy, I want nothing more for this all to be aired out, but the place for it to be aired out is in court, not in newspapers, not in the public realm. People can decide whether or not that is a valid position or not. And from the other side, the city's leadership continuing to not come clean, an incident that we should say has seen, I think, shameful is the only way to describe the way that the district attorney's office under Joel Abelov behaved. The police chief, the former police chief, John Tedesco, who held a press conference and essentially exonerated Randall French immediately after the killing. Both of those unfortunate practices were uncommented upon by the mayor until he came in for an edit board meeting with the Times Union a little bit less than a year ago, and admitted, as far as I can tell, in public for the first time, that he cringed when he heard Chief Tedesco make those remarks at the press conference, and had a private conversation with him afterwards to let him know that, hey, maybe those weren't appropriate, and that he did not think that what Joel Abelov provided was, in fact, durable justice. So whether or not the mayor waited a little bit too long to make those statements is something that people might want to think about.
Thank you, Casey, for explaining that. Now, a few weeks ago, Sergeant French unfortunately died of COVID-19. Mayor Madden gave him a funeral with honors. How does this celebration of French's life work with or against Madden's efforts to build bridges with the police and activists?
I mean, that's a tough question. he died an officer in good standing. And I want to make very clear that, as noted in the column, the Times Union heard from people who were furious that the Thevenin killing had been mentioned in articles about the fact that Randall French, who died after he was diagnosed with COVID-19, the mere mention of that case within his obit and articles about his illness made people furious. And I completely understand that. I heard from many, many people who said that they knew Randall French personally and that he was a good friend, a hardworking, you know, public safety officer. No one's going to gainsay those people's experiences that they knew him well. And as I said in the column, people who are basically decent make bad, bad mistakes all the time. Sometimes those mistakes have tragic outcomes. And I'm making no statements here about the guilt or innocence of Sergeant French, because it is extremely hard to draw any really concrete conclusions, because the course of justice in this case has run in so zigzag a fashion. But what is unacceptable is for public officials, whether it's police officers or mayors or city council members, to fail to take action or look the other way or paper things over, the end result being that incidents like this are never fully brought to public light, because that is the type of systemic failure that makes these sorts of incidents far more likely to happen.